The name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Let's go to Romans chapter 10, okay? I can have some time here in the Word. We're going to look at some things and see what the Word of the Lord has to say to us. We're going to start here in Romans in chapter 10. And also, you know, there's something I'm going to ask you to do, and that is that you can be also turning to Deuteronomy 30 and put your finger there, okay? Put your finger there, put a piece of paper there or something, whatever you'd like to do. The title of this message is the Salvation by the Power of God. Salvation by the Power of God. You know, that's not only getting born again by the Spirit of God, but there's the work of the salvation of the Lord all the days of our life until that salvation becomes complete. Now, let me tell you about the day when that salvation becomes complete. The day that that salvation becomes complete is the day that you go on and be with the Lord and you are made like Him. And it says, we will know Him just as He is, because you will see plainly. You know, that is the inheritance of the saints of God. You know, the Word of God says that He's given the Holy Spirit as a pledge to the inheritance of the righteous. All right? Wow. Man, I tell you, what's to come is really going to be something, because when you experience the Holy Spirit, that's already something, isn't it? You know, so praise His holy name. Just think what's coming our way. You know, because we're all going on to eternity. The real question is where are you going to spend eternity? You're not going to escape it. You know, once I was young, and now I'm getting a little bit older here, you know. But I'm not afraid of death. I'm not afraid of death in this body, because I'll be translated into the presence of Almighty God. Because Jesus is my hope. Jesus is my hope. You know, I'm going to serve and love Him. He's got lots of blessings in store for me. He's got a will for my life. He's got covenant promises. And if I'll follow Him and I'll love Him, then I'll find the unfolding of those covenant promises in my life. And He will make your life good. That's what He will do. Because He wants to bless you with His goodness. He wants to bring the goodness of the Lord. But He wants you first, okay? He's not going to be used or manipulated in any form or any fashion. We come and we give ourselves to Jesus and we follow after the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And then we'll go on and be with the Lord for all of eternity. You know, where are you going to spend eternity is probably the most important question that anybody ever asks you in your life. Where are you going to spend eternity? Are you going to be with the Lord because you received Jesus? He's the gift of righteousness. There is no other righteousness. You can't earn it. You can't be religious enough. There's not a religious activity that you can do that will ever cause you to earn the righteousness of God. It is the gift of God. It is the gift of God. And who earned that gift was the Lord Jesus Christ. And you receive it because that's how gifts are given. Gifts are just simply given. They're not earned and they're not a payment or a wage that you could earn. It's a gift. That's the love of God. That's the gift of righteousness. And that's where it's given, out of the love of God. May you receive it today. May you receive it today in your life. Now, I'm going to go on here. You got yourself marked right here. And I'm going to deal with a certain group of scriptures right here that has to do with just exactly what I'm saying. Salvation by the power of God. Here we are. This is in Romans chapter 10. I even read it a minute ago. This is verse 9. It says that if you confess. Now let me read verse 9 and 10 again, and I'll come back and kind of dissect a little bit. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, then this is the promise of God, you shall be saved. You know, after he makes that statement, he goes on in verse 10 and he begins to expound upon that. And I'm going to get into that in just a minute here. But I want you to see something first of all. You know, when you begin to confess, what's the importance of confession? The importance of confession is when you make it your own. You know, no longer is it the fact that Jesus died for my sins and that He rose again and that He is seated at the right hand of God, the Father, on my behalf and on your behalf. But I'm doing more than that. I'm taking it to be my own. I am claiming it for myself. And that's the importance of your confession of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, Lord, you have forgiven sins, but glory to God, you've forgiven my sins. Yes, Lord, you have blessed us with forgiveness and with the gift of righteousness. But I, Lord God, today, and I'm taking that gift as my own through my confession. That's how important that your confession is in the Lord. And then it goes on from that, and it says this. And you notice what you are confessing. You're confessing Jesus as Lord. Now, you know, you don't have to fully understand this, but, you know, that's where the salvation of the Lord really comes into a person's life. This thing about, you know, yes, we receive him as Savior, but I want him as Savior, you know, but I don't have anything to do with that lordship of Jesus Christ. You know, I want my ticket punched. You know, I'm smart enough. You know, some people, you know, I'm smart enough that I believe in God. I believe there is a God, all right? I'm smart enough that I know that there's a heaven. I'm smart enough to know that there's a hell. I know that. I believe that there is all places like that. And so I'm smart enough. And so I don't want to go. I don't want to go to hell. So I want to accept Jesus as my Savior. But don't go giving me any of that lordship stuff. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. That's why a lot of people, you know, they confess Jesus and then have it in their heart, an attitude that all they want is that salvation of God. They don't want anything to do with that lordship of Jesus Christ, and they never have any power for obedience ever. Never have any power. And now they weigh in limbo. You know, what are you and where are you really? That's a dangerous place to be. You know, when I was a little boy, we would go to my granddad's house. You know, I loved to go there. It was up the country. My granddad built that house, you know, and I was the youngest of the grandchildren. So, you know, my grandfather was quite old then. You know, it was almost like going camping. And he had a great big old potbelly stove, you know, that was in the living room. That's how the whole house was heated. And they had a well on the back porch, you know, and that's where they got the water. You know, they finally did. Abel had a stove that was used to cook because they got propane gas eventually, you know. But, you know, that's the way that the house was. And the house was so old, you go in the hallway, and I look down that hallway, and, you know, it'd be kind of tilting just a little bit, you know. You know, because it was quite old. But, you know, my brother and I, in the wintertime, they crank up that potbelly stove. You know, my mom and dad be one in bedroom, my granddad and them. And then my brother and I, we'd be on a hideaway sofa, you know. You pull out the bed, you know, from the sofa. You know, those are awful, or used to be at least, awful to sleep on. And, you know, we'd sleep in that room right there. But, you know, they crank up that stove, and it'd be so doggone hot. And then I'd hear the mouse run on the floor, across the linoleum floor, and I'd tuck all my limbs in real good, you know. It was really a torment to sleep in my granddad's house, you know. But I loved it, but boy, it was. But, you know, I can remember watching those flames. I'm not joking. I would watch those flames dancing on the window, you know, of that potbelly stove. And here I am, a little boy. I'm a little boy, you know, and I remember it very distinctly. With the thoughts going, I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to go to hell. You know, because I was so doggone miserable. You don't want to go to hell. You don't want to go to hell no matter what it takes for you in your life in walking with the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, well, so, you know, we don't just simply, you know, pray to the Lord. You may not know what you're doing. You don't have to know. All you have to do is do it. And that is that you give your whole heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I'm going to do something. I'm going to see how, you know, how coordinated you are. Mark the places that you got in the Bible and go to Matthew 18, okay? Let's go real quick over to Matthew 18. I've had several Sundays that I've meant to bring this verse out to you, and I haven't done it. If you give your whole heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, He will do it. He will cause you to be made victorious. He'll deliver you from every sin. He will deliver you from every habit. He will cause your life to be made sweet. He'll heal every memory that you've got. You will no longer have to wear your labels. I'm sorry, that's just what I believe in, the salvation of God. You won't have to wear your labels anymore. You know, God will heal you. He will heal you, and He will make you different. But it's by His power. All He wants is your heart. All He wants is your heart, but He's got to have your whole heart. He's got to have your whole heart. Okay, now would you look with me, and I wanted you to see this, you know, because we're talking about this heaven and hell thing, and I want you to see in Matthew 18, and then look at Matthew 18 in verse 8, it says, and if your hand and your foot caused you to stumble, cut it off and throw it from you. It is better for you to enter life crippled or lame than having two hands or two feet and to be cast into the eternal fire. Boy, that's strong, isn't it? Boy, that's really strong. Now, you know, before we go any farther, you know, you understand that He's not talking about you, you know, literally doing that. But you know what He is saying? He is saying that this issue is so important. You take whatever drastic actions that you have to take in your life so that those stumbling blocks are cut off. And when you're willing to do that, and you know, a lot of people are just not willing to do that, but this is the drastic action of where the Spirit of God shows up, and then He gives you relief. He takes that thing out of your heart. You're no longer bound to it. You're no longer its slave. Okay? But God sets you free. Now, so you hear those words right there. And let me read on just a little bit more so that you hear this. And then he goes on and he says this. And this is in verse 9, he says, and if your eye causes you to stumble, pluck it out and throw it from you. It is better for you to enter life with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into the fiery hell. If the internet is what causes you to stumble at midnight and on you're alone, get off of it. If you have to do away with the internet, oh, good Lord, is the preacher saying that? Then get away from it. What do you have to do in your life? You take the drastic action that you do not entertain those wicked sins in your life any longer. Your stumbling blocks, turn away, repent from them, and take the action that it takes for you to find the freedom of the Lord. I know. Today, we love that easy believism so much, you know. We want our Christianity to be like our, you know, our fast food, right? We just want to pull in there at the drive-in window and get it real quick and then go back to what really has our heart. Shouldn't our eyes be open to that? Let's hurry up and get church over with so I can go do what I really am wanting to do, you know? What really thrills my heart. Isn't that not an indictment against the church? Huh? That we're bored with the things of God? And part of the reason of being bored with the things of God is because we don't experience the Spirit of God. We don't let the Spirit of God move in church anymore, okay? We don't let the Spirit of the Lord move in church anymore. You know, because the Spirit of God brings happiness and He brings joy and He brings gladness. It's called the new wine of the Holy Spirit. You know, trade in your old wine, and why don't you get some new wine? Okay, and that new wine is called the new wine of the Holy Spirit. I mean, He makes happy. He makes happy, right? You know, and that what they call it, you know, out at the bar crowd, right? You know, happy hour. Isn't that weird, right? You know, happy hour. You know, we're not happy any other time, but let us get full of some liquid, right? Okay, an intoxication, and then, you know, oh, now we're happy, you know. Jesus will fill your heart. You know, one of the inheritance that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ is called gladness and joy in the Holy Spirit, right? Gladness and joy in the Holy Spirit. Who in the world, you know, needs that other wine in their life? Get full of the Holy Spirit of the living God. Get full of the Holy Spirit in the living God. You know, I've told you about it, and I'm going to say it again right here. You know, for me, I'm talking about my life. I'm not talking about you. You do what you want to do, you know. But I'm going to do what I want to do, too, in Jesus. And that is that I love to worship and sing in the Spirit, in tongues. If you don't know what singing in the Spirit is, okay, it's called tongues, all right. You know, and dance before the Lord, you know. My granddaughter will say to Beatrice, "Pawpaw singing again." You know, and dance before the Lord. I can't sing a lick, but I sure can worship and praise in the Spirit. And you know what? A wonderful blessing for me. You know, this is me. This is my life. This is me and my God. This is me and my Jesus, okay? And that is that, you know, when I begin to worship and I begin to praise the name of the Lord, I am instantly filled with gladness and joy. Oh, he amazes me. Though my outward body is decaying, my inner man is being renewed day by day. I'm here to tell you, I'm giving a witness to you here for just a minute. I'm experiencing that. Right, you know, now my outward man is decaying, my inner man is being renewed day by day. Okay, I've been walking with the Lord. I was baptized in the Holy Spirit at the age of 20. Okay, I'm a little older than 20 now. All right, but I want to tell you what, my God is just alive and is fresh and new to me and just as real and more than ever before. You know, that renewing that comes by the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, it's not old hat. It's not ho-hum. It's not, oh, been there, done that. Let's go in there. Let's go to church. You know, then, you know, let's be respectable. That appeases my conscience because I know that's what good people are supposed to do, you know. You know. And also, you know, I'm going to go to church, you know, but then what I'm going to, after I leave here, what I'm going to do is I'm going to pursue what I really love. That's called deception. That's a deception. Oh, enjoy your hobbies. Don't make it your God. You better be careful what your God is. You better be careful about what's in your heart. I'm telling you right now, you know, you're to watch over your heart as a believer. You know, remember we spoke that not long ago. You keep yourself for the Lord Jesus Christ. But if you're in Jesus and you're a Christian, you've been betrothed. As the bride of Christ. You're in a betrothed state right now, you know, and that means, you know, he's got claims on me. One day, there'll be the marriage supper of the Lamb. But right now, the way I live my life is I keep my heart for the one that I've been betrothed to. Jesus, right? You guard yourself, right? You can't, you know, and you understand, I'm just being honest. This is scripture that I'm talking about right here. One day I'm going to take you through it. I'm going to take you through those scriptures. But do you understand, you know, if I take Jesus here, okay, I love Jesus, you know. Oh, I love Jesus. Oh, I love this too, right? I love that, you know. And I'm going to be honest with you, and Jesus is nothing more than one of your idols. He's not your Lord. Because I love those things as much as I love him, right? You want me to tell you what scripture calls that person? A harlot. A harlot. You know why they're called a harlot? Because they have many lovers. That's the word of God. That's why this drastic action that he's talking about. Okay, anyway, let's go on back here and let's go on. So we see that. Let's go on back to Romans chapter 10, and then I'm going to read on. So do you understand now? I'm going to take you to the other place here in just a minute, but I'm going to read this again. So you understand that, you know, it's not believing intellectually in Jesus, it's giving your heart to him. You know, it's not believing intellectually in Jesus. It's not believing intellectually in Jesus. It's giving your heart to him. And when you give your heart, you give your whole person. When you give your heart, you give your whole person. You give the real you. You give the real you. That's what you do when you give your heart. You confess him as Lord and you give him your heart. Let me tell you what. He'll do the rest. He'll do the rest, but he wants all your heart. Now, you know, so that, you know, I want you to understand the context of this. Let me read this. Come up here and read. I'm going to read, if you would, if you don't mind. Now, you're in Romans 10. I'm going to look at verse 6. But the righteousness, look here, based on faith, speaks thus. Oh, this is the righteousness that's based on faith. Okay, what does it speak? And then in quotations. And do you notice that's in quotations? You know why it's in quotations? You'll see it's from Deuteronomy 30, where I got your finger. He's a quoting there, all right? Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven that is to bring down Christ. Then it says in verse 7, and notice it's a quote again. It's a quote again. It goes on, or who will descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. Now, you understand, so the context here, verse 8, but what does it say? The word, that's the word of salvation, the word is near you. Ah, where is it? How can I find this? The word is near you, look here, in your mouth and in your heart. And look what he calls it. Look what he calls it. That is the word of faith which we are preaching. Will you go back over there now to Deuteronomy? Go to Deuteronomy chapter 30. I've got you. You mark Romans 10 because we're going to come back to it. You know, so you understand. We're going to see, you know, the qualifications of this heart thing. Okay, let me read this. Let me read verse 11. Deuteronomy 30 verse 11 says, "For this commandment which I command you today is not too difficult for you, nor is it out of your reach." Oh. So, you know, we can't take that position. Well, you know, God understands me. He knows me. You know, I would obey him if I could. But now, you know, we're just all sinners that have been saved by grace, you know. You know, so we just can't help but sin. You know, God knows that you can't help but sin. I think that person's never going to know victory because there's no faith in that person's life. Okay? They're not reaching out and grabbing hold of the promise of God. Are you with me there? Because he says, we're preaching the word of faith. You heard that, didn't you? Faith is an action that you take before God. All right. Now, so I want you to see this. You know, that perks up my interest because God says it's not out of my reach. Will you come back up here and look at verse 10? If you obey the Lord your God to keep his commandments and his statutes, which are written in the book of the law. Now look what he says about it. If you turn to the Lord your God. Now look, what does this say? With all your heart and soul. That qualifies it, doesn't it? All right. So that's when we read over in Romans 10. And we say that you can, you know, you confess with your mouth, and, you know, and you believe in your heart. Deuteronomy 30 qualifies it with all your heart, doesn't it? Did you hear that? So this is when the power of God comes. Because this is not out of your reach, that you can't obtain it. Now, look on again, and I'm going to read, we read verse 11 in Deuteronomy 30. I'm going to go on down here. Now look at verse 12. Now, this is those quotes that were in Romans 10. It is not in heaven that you should say, who will go up to heaven for us to get it for us? Now look here. And make us hear it. That is, that we may observe it. Nor is it beyond the sea that we should say, who will cross the sea for us to get it? For us and make us hear it. There's that phrase again. That we may observe it. Now look at verse 14. But the word is very near you, in your mouth and in your heart. And if you do it with your mouth and with your whole heart, what will happen? That you may observe it. That you may observe it. In other words, you don't say, it's too far off for me. Oh, it's unobtainable. No. You believe on God and you give him your whole heart. It is the word of faith, and you confess it with your mouth, and then God begins to do it. That's how you become obedient. That's how you obtain righteousness. Let me go back. Let's go back over here in Romans. Are you back in Romans real quick? Okay, now you're back in Romans. And let me give you a little example of this. You know, I want you to, you know, turn to Romans 5. Will you do that real quick? Let's go over to Romans 5 real quick. And I want you to see this. In Romans 5, look what it says here in verse 17. Romans 5, 17. For if by the transgression of the one, and that was Adam, right? That was Adam. Death reigned through the one. Much more, those who receive, and you got to receive the abundance of grace. Do you see that? Now, where does that come from? Look, and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. It does not say reign in the sweet by and by. It doesn't say that. It says will reign in life. And there's two things that are happening, right? Number one is called the gift of righteousness. Now, that may sound odd, but the way that your life changes and you find the transforming power of God is that you begin to believe on the word of the Lord and you begin to confess it even before you obtain it. Are you hearing me? Right? A lot of people are taught a false humility. Oh, you know, I'd be a hypocrite if I confessed the gift of righteousness, that I am made righteous in the blood of the Lord Jesus. Oh, I'd just be a hypocrite. Well, good luck on that one, okay? Because you can confess it once you become it, right? You'll go to your grave waiting on it. That's why a lot of people wait to give their heart to Jesus or their whole heart to Jesus. Or, I got to clean myself up. I'm going to come to the Lord. I'm coming to the Lord. I will. I'll come to the Lord. I just got to get some things out of my life first. No. That's a deception. No. You'll say that this time next year. And you'll say it this time next year after that. And then you'll pass on the eternity in that holding pattern. Well, I'm going to get serious with God. I'll give him my whole heart. You know, but I got to get things out, straighten up first. I got to get them straightened up first. That's not what God wants from you. He wants your whole heart as the way you are. And then you begin to say, Lord, I thank you for the gift of righteousness. You know, I thank you for the gift of righteousness. I thank you, Lord, that I have received forgiveness of my sins and I've received the gift of righteousness. That means I have right standing with God. That means I can call on the name of the Lord and I know I'm heard. I know he receives me. I know I have approval in the presence of the Lord my God. You know, and because it's not me, it's Jesus that I'm looking to. My approval is through Jesus. My confidence of faith is in Jesus. And then there's another thing that's spoken right here, right? This is the last one I'm going to give you now. And that is verse 17. It says, for if by the transgression of the one, you know, death reigned through the one. Okay? You know, you were born in this flesh, then you were born after the nature of Adam. That makes you a sinner. That means that you are a sinner before God. That's why you don't know God and you don't see God, is because you got to be saved. You got to be born again. You got to have your sins under the blood of Jesus, and then God comes into your life. All right, and then he goes on and says, through the one, much more those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, look here, will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Now, that's number two. What is it? I love it. It's not just grace, but it's called the abundance of grace, right? We live under the grace of God. God will do it all for you If you let him have his whole heart, and you believe upon him in his word, you receive what the word says about you even before you experience it, and you stand on it and expect it to come to pass all through the grace of God. All. He'll perfect you in love. He'll perfect you in obedience. He'll perfect you in a heart after God. He will perfect you. He will do what you can never do, what you never could do. He's not waiting for you to clean up yourself. He doesn't want you to clean up yourself. He wants you to come as you are to him. And he wants you to believe upon him and let him have his way. Let him have his way. This is the issue. Let him have his way. Come to him. Walk with him with your whole heart. And when you do that, the Spirit of God begins to bring the abundance of grace. Isn't that beautiful? You know, that word grace is the Greek word is charis, C-H-A-R-I-S. It means favor. It means a gift, okay? And it means credited to. So, isn't that one? Now, listen, real quick. So, all of the finished works of Jesus are credited to you. Do you know that? Huh? All the finished works of Jesus are your inheritance, and they belong to you. They're waiting on you. They're waiting on you. What do you mean they're waiting on you? They're waiting on you to step forward in faith and lay claim to them and say with that confession of the Lordship of Jesus, oh, I take that as my own. You know, I'm taking it. No, it's my own, right? Right? You know, and when you take it as your own, then the Spirit of God is released in you with the abundance of grace to establish you in things that you could never be and things that you could never do. And he does it. Oh my, how good the Lord is. How good the Lord is. Goodness gracious. Kathy, would you all come on? Now you stop waiting and looking, okay? You know, you get that mindset out of your heart. Says, you know, I can't do all that. I'm not going to be a hypocrite, right? You know, I'm not going to be a hypocrite. God does not want your good works. There was no reason for Jesus to die if he died and you can do it. Right? He died needlessly. Are you with me? He died needlessly. If you just get a little bit more willpower about you, a little more discipline about you, if you can do it, then why did Jesus die? Why did he die? The abundance of grace. Where do you need grace right now? Yes, Beatrice, would you come, please? Where do you need grace in your life? Okay, first of all, your whole heart. Your whole heart now, okay? Your whole heart. Your whole heart. Okay. He committed himself to you. He's looking for you to commit yourself to him. That's where you'll find the power. That's when the power comes. That's when the power comes. That's when the power comes. Don't hold anything back anymore. Okay, I'm going to say something, okay? Forgive me, all right? Put away your idols. Put away your idols. Put away your idols. He'll deliver you. Amen. He'll change you. All you got to do is recognize it and give it to him. Recognize it and give it to him. That's all you got to do. Recognize and give it to him. No more of this. I take him as my Savior, but I don't want him to be my Lord. No more of that. No. No more of that. You've been living a defeated Christian life, and that's why you've been living a defeated Christian life. That's why you've not seen the power to deliver you from your sins. That's why you confess Jesus to be your Lord, or you confess him to be your Savior, but you keep living a sinner's life. You keep living a sinner's life. There's no power there. There's no power. Why? 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 He wants your whole heart. Okay? I'm going to pray for us. Father, I want to thank you right now that in the name of Jesus, as we come before you, Lord God, we're surrendering our whole heart. We know it's that simple. We believe. We give you our whole heart. We confess Jesus as our Lord. He comes first. From this day forward, in the name of Jesus, Jesus is the Lord of my life. He's the Lord of my life from this day, right now. No matter what the past has been. Lord, right now, today is the day that I confess before you Jesus as the Lord of my life. And I come before you right now to surrender my whole heart and every single thing that is in it. I give it to you. The good, the bad, and the ugly. All of it. That you will reign over it. I can't do anything about it. I lift it all to you right now. Everything, everything, everything. Everybody say everything.
Everything.
Everything in my heart. The good, the bad, and the ugly, I surrender it to you. Everything, everything I give to you. And I praise you for the abundance of the grace of God.
Hallelujah.
Everybody say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I receive today.
I receive.
The abundance of grace. We love you, Lord. We thank you. Yes.
This is the second time I'm getting this, not today, but there is someone who is looking around and worried about who is next to them, or worried about your friends, what they will think about what you're doing, or what they will say about the step you're taking. The Lord wants you to not look to the left, to the right, but look at yourself. He wants you. Don't worry about what other people will think or say. It's you that He is after. He wants your whole heart.
Hallelujah. Let's stand. I got to just say something real quick. You know, last week we prayed, and I want you to be praying that we're going to claim souls, right? You know, it's a spiritual warfare, right? It's not a work of the flesh. It's a spiritual warfare. The Spirit of God begins to move upon people. God's Spirit begins to move on people.
Yes.
People begin to turn to the Lord because the Spirit of the Lord begins to move upon them.
Amen.
You know, and it is our calling that we enter into that warfare. We begin to call them from the north, the south, the east, and the west.
Amen.
And the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. That's the promise of Almighty God. We call them forth.
Hallelujah.
We walk in the spiritual power and authority that God has given us in Christ. And this is how we see things happening. My heart is broken this morning. And the reason my heart is so broken is we, the church, lost two different people to suicide this last week here in Owensboro. We lost them. We, the church, we lost them. I'm willing to say it like that. Because we have to step up to the plate in the realm of the Spirit. And the Spirit of God will enter and move into people's hearts and lives. There's more people out there contemplating suicide than you can imagine right here in sweet little Owensboro.
That's right.
And there's more suicides that go on than you can imagine. They're not just always known. But how horrible. How horrible that is. To me, I know it is to you too. How horrible. Breaks my heart. Oh, may it bring us to prayer. May it bring us to prayer. May it bring us to calling out, stepping up into that spiritual authority that God's called us to. And then He begins to move upon people. This is the victory of the church. This is the calling of the church. This is the power of the church.
It is.
I just want to pray right now against that spirit. Can I do that? We'll just pray. I know I'm delaying you a little bit. Father, Lord God, we're coming against that spirit of suicide. And oh Lord God, in the name of Jesus, I'll bring it down. And I pray right now that you will give us every soul that right now that is contemplating, oh Lord God, in their life. That, oh Lord God, we're calling on the name of the Lord. We're asking that the power of God go through this community. We're asking that the Spirit of the living God go through this community. We're asking that, oh Lord God, that you'll move upon every soul. That you'll move upon every heart, oh Lord God. Lord, we're going to claim them right now for the kingdom of God. That in the name of Jesus, we bring that suicide spirit down. We bind it in the name of Jesus. We bind it. You'll not snatch lives and bring ruin and destruction in Jesus' name. Lord God, thank you for moving in a mighty way. Thank you, Lord, for moving upon hearts. Thank you for saving souls. We're calling on the name of the Lord, and we're asking for souls, oh Lord, as a church, Lord God, as the people of God. Oh, come and save. Come and save, oh Lord God. Come and save in the name of Jesus.